Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And there is so much joy in this month of June. June 2016. June, in some ways, is a month of jubilation. Jubilation at seeing so many new, bright and fresh faces in Bhagwan schools and colleges in Prashantinilam. How exciting it used to be when Swami was physically there. Every new student was on this path of discovery, discovering every little thing they were seeing around, trying to make sense of everything happening in the institute, in the mandir, in the hostel, figuring out how the people are the way they are. How could it be so? What motivates them to be so? I remember when I joined the Sri Chaitanya Sai High Secondary School for my 11th grade, way back in the 90s, my wing teachers were Mr. Satish Babu, who is now the warden of the Sri Chaitanya Sai Junior Boys Hostel, and Dr. Sailesh Srivastav, another luminary faculty of Bhagwan's institutions who has so magnificently guided the destinies of so many students, especially those interested in music and physics. And Dr. Sailesh Srivastav is a genius. Genius at whatever he touched. And every day, boys marveled at his talent. He could have easily been a super achiever in the outside world, excelling in his PhD work besides creating awesome music. But nobody in the outside world knows about him. He was so happy here, year after year, guiding school students and earning a pittance. When I joined the hostel, and when I used to interact with him and when I used to see him, I was so inspired. So inspired by him and so inspired by so many like him, for whom life was much beyond creating a good income and having a great standard of living. They were ensuring that hundreds who stepped into Bhagwan's institutions realized that what is important in life is not a great standard of living, but a higher standard of life. And this happens even now. Amazing stories happen even now inside the hostel. And in the coming episodes in this month, you will listen to stories of what is happening inside the hearts of students in the hostel. That's coming up in the future episodes. But for now, so we are talking about this month of June. And in this month of June, this is what happens. This process starts. And in fact, when Bhagwan was there, it started with a bang, I should say. It all began with the grand opening of the Sri Chaitanya Sai summer course in Indian culture and spirituality, which went on for at least 15 days. Even before the students opened their secular knowledge, the books of chemistry, physics and economics, Swami wanted all the students to know first what is knowledge and then go and pick up what knowledge specifically that person wants and then try to assimilate it in the right manner so that it will be beneficial not only to him but to everyone around. And in these summer courses, Swami literally spoke every single day and he exhorted students to concentrate more on the virtues of the heart than learn to subdue the vices of the mind. In fact, when Bhagwan restarted summer course during the academic session of 1990-91, the topic on which he spoke during that fortnight is body, the senses, the mind, the intellect and the spirit, functions and their proper use. This is what Bhagwan dealt on at length on this summer course. Prior to this, Bhagwan used to conduct the summer course in the 70s, not only for students of his college in Puttaparthi and Vrindavan, but also for youth that came from all over India. Over the years, the summer course has undergone a lot of transformation. Now it is a much shorter version of how it used to be in the 90s. Since 2011, it is a 3-day affair which happens in the month of June and which just concluded in the Pune Chandra Auditorium in Prashantinilam for all the students of all the campuses. In fact, on June 19th, 2016 was the valedictory day, and even though the summer course was short, it had great impact on the students. Let me play for you a short clip of one of the talks delivered during the first day of the summer course 2016.
The theme of the summer course is Bhaja Govindam. It is said once Shankara was walking with his 14 disciples in the oldest city alive, the land of Shiva, the great city of Varanasi. And he came across an old man sitting and reciting a certain rule of grammar called Dukran. Shankara felt such an immense outpour of pity and sympathy and compassion that through him burst forth what is now has come to be called as Bhajagovindam. The first verse goes like Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhajamudhamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Tukrin Karane. Literally meaning that when the last moment comes, when the god of death comes knocking on your door, all these rules of grammar will not come to your rescue. So, O foolish man, spend your time in chanting the name of the Lord. Let us look a little deeper. Dukran Karani. The man was sitting and mindlessly repeating certain rules of grammar. It not only stands for rules of grammar or other such scriptures, it symbolizes a life lived under a conditioned mental structure. Whenever we live a life of mindless repetition, it is Dukran Karani. Whenever we open ourselves to more beautiful currents of love and life which are ever flowing through the present moment, it is Bhajagovindam. It is not just chanting the name of the Lord, but to see the changeless behind the changing. And whenever we live with the mind, it is Dukran Karani. When we live aligned with our heart, it is Bhajagovindam.
So that was Brother Sanjay Mahalingam, a faculty member from the Department of Management Studies and Commerce, sharing his insight on this beautiful topic of Bhajagovindam. We will play for you the entire talk in Radio Sai as it gets edited and processed in due course of time. But that was just to give you a glimpse of how it is. Each talk is very profound, very powerful. And this time the theme was Bhajagovindam, and the students heard deliberations on this great work of Sri Adi Shankaracharya. What Bhagwan has said on the verses of Bhajagovindam. There were reminiscences by senior alumni who were part of the drama that Swami himself directed on the theme of Bhajagovindam in the 80s. There was music programs on this theme and so on. So it was rich, it was riveting and enlightening. And while I was sitting through some of the sessions of this wonderful program, my mind went back to the time when Swami personally used to organize every bit of this program. And even as I was thinking and ruminating on these lines, fortunately I met someone who has attended summer courses in the 70s and also again in the 90s, first as a devotee and later as a fresh student and much later as a senior student and a research scholar in his college, Dr. Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim. So I took the opportunity to have a conversation with him so that we get some glimpses of those glorious days of summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. And what I'm going to play for you now is this conversation I recorded just 2 days ago with Dr. Sonam Gyamso.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:53, and as I just mentioned to you, today we are going to discuss on how the summer course changes the course of students' lives in Bhagwan's institutions. This is really an interesting topic because I've had a lot of conversations with so many students, beautiful stories, beautiful revelations, and today, as I just mentioned, we will get just one slice of this mega story, the story of how summer course changed the life of Dr. Sonam Gyamso. Here it is. Sairam Brother Sonam, and welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside.
Sairam.
The summer course in Indian culture and spirituality of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning has just concluded. Today is Tuesday, 21st of June, and the 3-day session concluded on Sunday, 19th June.
I just missed it. Yeah, that was the day I came here.
That was the way you came here?
Yeah, I came to Prashanti Nilayam.
Oh, wow. I think that's really interesting. So tell us about your tryst with the summer course, because you are someone who came to Bhagwan in the 70s, even before the university came into being.
Yes.
When only the Vrindavan College was there, and Prashanti College also had just come. Perhaps in 79 is when the Prashanti Nilayam College came into being.
Yeah.
And but the summer course has a history even prior to the unfurling of the university and the coming up of the Prashanti Nilayam College.
Yeah.
And you were part of it.
Yeah, I was part of the summer course, yeah.
So please do tell us how it was in those days, because the summer courses today are very different, very short. The format is very, very drastically changed from how it was in the original years. Bhagwan changed it, altered it with the changing times and with the coming up of the students. But you were part of it when it was in its initial years.
Yeah,
so please take us back to those days, and also tell us how you came to Bhagwan through the summer course.
Yeah, my memory of the summer course goes back to 1977, when Swami had asked me to come and join his college.
Mm-hmm.
So before joining his college, people would celebrate, there would be a grand celebration in Vrindavan, and that the feel of festivity used to be brought in by the summer course.
Oh, okay.
So those days, summer course, as you said, had a completely different splendor. It was a very pan-Indian summer course, meant for students from all over India.
Mm-hmm.
So people from everywhere in India, they would be given slots for the summer course. Every state maybe had a few 10 to 12 slots, and they would come and participate.
So there was a selection procedure or something like that?
I think they were selected by their respective samitis, Sai organization centers.
Okay.
And the centers would select and send them. So after the registration, they would suddenly, no sooner the registration would happen, there would be a total kaya palat. In the sense that, you know, even the face, everything would change. They would become Sai students all of a sudden. In Sai students per se, in the true sense of the term. And that transformation I saw with my own eyes, because there were two elders, like brothers, elder brothers from our state, who had also come for summer course, not from Sikkim, but from neighboring Darjeeling, who had come here for summer course. And when I came to Vrindavan and waiting for my chance to be in the summer course to participate, and then I thought I would, you know, from summer course, I would graduate right into the university, into the college, in his college. At that time, the university didn't exist. The Sathya Sai University didn't exist. So I thought that would be a very logical transfer from the summer course right into the college. I thought it would be so easy, and Swami himself had asked me to come. But then when I came for the summer course, I saw a totally different scenario. There were students everywhere, all of them wearing white and white, and then all of them were wearing those special badges which were issued to them. And I really coveted that. I thought if I could get one of those badges, I would be a part of the summer course.
So you were looking to join for graduation?
For graduation. So when I came for the summer course, I met these two Daju's. Daju means bade bhai. So I met them, and they looked completely transformed. Like there was a special type of ojas, a type of, you know, radiance on their face as summer course students, Swami students. And then there were the regular Sathya Sai students who were studying in the Vrindavan Sri Sathya Sai Arts, Science and Commerce College.
So it is a beautiful opportunity for youth all over the country to become one with the students of Bhagwan's college, become literally Sai student at least for that period of time.
Exactly. And that 1 month would really transform, because I have seen the process of transformation myself in so many students.
Mm-hmm.
That 1 month would be a lifetime. Like, the impact of that 1 month was a impact of a lifetime.
Wow.
In those students. That was the total, you know, the intensity of the summer course. Because every day Swami would give a discourse in the evening, and that was the icing on the cake.
Hmm.
Every evening. And throughout the day there would be a stream of lectures from different stalwarts coming, you know, people from very big people, very knowledgeable people, wise people. They would like people like Professor Bhagwantam, then Dr. Gokak, and our own Professor Ankasturi.
Yes.
Now, apart from them, a galaxy of learned people would come and address the students. And then the subjects varied right from value orientation to your ethos, your culture, to Vedanta, a proper interpretation of Vedanta, all seemingly disjointed subjects. But then in the evening, Swami would just put all these in a perspective. And Swami's discourse used to be like that. And my earliest memory of summer course is running after Swami's car.
Oh.
Swami would just, in the evening, his car would come out of the gate and then speed away in towards the campus, where the far end of the campus, there's the Vrindavan campus, is the auditorium.
Mm.
And Swami would go there. And the first inaugural day, all the summer course students wearing dhoti those days, and then white shirt. And then all of them, they took out a procession with a military band. Mm-hmm. I think it was either the naval band or the military band, but or the police, whatever. But they came and played the band. Now today, everything has changed. Our boys play better than them. Our band has become one of its, you know, a class band by itself. So those days, and Sai Gita would all the time lead procession.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how, in a gala manner, the whole procession, the inauguration took place. And then after that, there was no stopping me, because at the time, as a summer course student, as summer course aspirant, not a student, I was not a student, I was not given a badge, because I didn't have a letter of introduction from my state president.
Oh, so you were not picked up by the state?
No, I was not picked up by the state. I came on my own. I came for admission. Then prior to the admission, I thought I would participate in the summer course and then cleanse myself thoroughly and then go into the...
So you thought you will automatically get a chance to be part of summer course?
Yeah, I thought it would be so easy, because Swami had called me, summer course would be just an easy entry. And I found that it was the toughest thing, because there was no chance of getting into it.
This is 1970?
This was 1977. Yeah. And then when Swami was not looking at me, talking to me, then I think I narrated this last time also. I started my Maun Vratam also, because I'm a very talkative person. So not to speak was, for me, it was a penance-like thing, you know. So I did my Maun Vratam, and then I took a room up there in Belathur. The house rent was very cheap. So I took up that room, and then I started attending summer course. So running after Swami's car every evening, and then the scenario right outside Swami's auditorium, Vrindavan auditorium. We would all the devotees would be all over there, sitting there, right outside, squatting there. And I was also seated there. And then when Swami would start his discourse, before his discourse, there would be one or two talks by different people. And then sometimes there would be some music program by some eminent musicians. But then the setting sun, and then sometimes it would drizzle. The entire scenario was heavenly.
Hmm.
And the most heavenly impact was felt because of Swami's divine voice.
Wow.
For the first time when I heard, that was the first time I heard Swami's divine voice in the discourse. I had never heard him speak like that. I had never heard anyone speak like that. That confidence, that sweetness, that concern, that sincerity. Every aspect of that discourse made a deep impact on my heart. That was how Swami was speaking. And his voice to me, for the first time when I heard his voice when he spoke, it was neither male or female, you know?
Yes.
And maybe Ardhanarishwar, later on we could relate it to that.
Yes.
But then you could never define that voice, the texture of that voice, the sweetness, you know, the voice, there was a wetness in that voice almost like that of, you know, a flowing stream of milk or a flowing stream of honey, you know. That type of voice, that was the texture of Swami's voice. And throughout our lives, we have been listening to that beautiful voice.
Yes.
And that was the first time in my life I heard a live discourse of Bhagwan. And this happened continuously for 1 month. It was a month-long discourse.
Wow.
And every evening running after Swami's car, sitting there was the most heavenly experience of a lifetime. And this is how I got introduced to the summer course. And then I went back and to cut things short, again in 1978, the thought of the summer course just, you know, rang a bell inside me. And I said, I told my mother, Mom, I must go for summer course.
Oh, even though in the previous year you were not a participant.
No, not a participant.
You said that Swami asked you to join.
Swami had asked me to join.
So maybe you can narrate that story also.
I narrated it last time.
But I think the listeners to this program probably will not be able to connect. So maybe you can just narrate it in brief, how Swami asked you to join.
That was in 1977, January. That was the on New Year's Day, Swami gave us an interview. That was the very next day after we reached Prashanti Nilayam. And then Swami healed me, which I have already narrated last time. I was suffering from bronchial asthma and Swami made me breathe properly and He healed me completely. And then when I was in the heart of my hearts, in my mind, I was telling Swami, I want to study in your college. It was almost like loud thinking. Swami himself said, "Haan, aa sakta hai." Then he instructed my mother, send him in June, I'll give him admission.
Wow.
So this is how I came for Swami's admission.
So you were confident that you will join?
I was totally confident because he had called me.
He had told us.
And when I came in May, summer course was on. And then after the summer course would be the admissions. And I was denied admission in the summer course. Then after that I didn't get admission, which I have, again, it's a very long story, but I didn't get admission that year. When Swami had said, you come. And the flaws were on my side. And then I went back home and I joined the local government degree college in Gangtok. And in 1978, on a sudden impulse, it was again May, summer, and I told my mother, I must go. And my mother said, are you mad? Examination is round the bend. Next month is your examination. How can you just go?
The entrance examination?
No, my first semester examination.
Okay.
So I said, I must go. I have to leave. So I left everything because studies and none of these things mattered to me anymore. The thought of the summer course, Swami walking around, and all the Swami's demigods, you know, in white and white walking around, that thought captivated me to such an extent that I had to go for summer course. And that was 1 year wherein I came for summer course. That year I had a letter of introduction from the recommendation from the state president. I presented my credentials to Dr. Bhagwantam. But for this, some reason, he had no time to look into my credentials, my papers, and I was not given admission. And one thing was, I was already late by 1 or 2 days.
Okay, the summer course had started.
Yeah, summer course had started. So I was left out. So once again, running after Swami's car. That was my second summer course in my life, wherein I spent the whole month running after Swami's car and living in a place which was cheaper than the previous year. I found one house in Sigaheli, and I stayed there and then attended summer course and ran after Swami's car. That running after Swami is one of the most beautiful things that can happen in a lifetime. running after him. Because unless you really pine for him, you don't run.
Yes.
The feet won't cooperate.
Yes.
Then the feet cooperates and starts running, even if you don't want, when the heart is pining for him. And that was how I got initiated and how I got prepared by him to study in his college.
Wow.
So the second summer course was a big preparation for me to join his college. Because every discourse of Bhagwan, the talks we would miss because we wouldn't go to the auditorium to listen to talks by different, people. Those erudite people would give talks, but then that would happen behind closed doors, you know. But then Swami's discourse was meant for the public.
Yes.
There was a microphone there and a speaker right outside there. So we could just run, sit there and listen to his discourse.
Yes.
So it was open for everyone. So this is how, on the second year also, I went there.
The magic of Swami's personality and the mesmerizing effect of his voice. his discourse.
Extremely mesmerizing. Extremely. No one can attract and mesmerize like Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. That is why he is God. Like for me, if God is attractive, then Satya Sai Baba is the most attractive person. So that is why he is God. As simple as that. And then that year, I never thought I would gain admission in his college. But then I got my admission because somebody came, and then I think I narrated it last time. And then the mother persuaded me also to apply for the first year degree. And I applied. And then I said, my papers are not with me. I had just come running for the summer course. And then my papers are not with me. I mean, all my documents I had not brought with me. Then when I went back to my room and I opened my suitcase to keep my camera and my tape recorder, I saw a brown envelope sitting on top of my clothes. And then inside them, out of those, of that brown envelope, all my papers were intact there. All my documents. I went and, in fact, Brother Roo, we call him Brother Roo. He was almost the office superintendent, accountant, everything in our college, in Vrindavan College.
Your brother?
Brother. No, not my brother. I mean,
I know.
That gentleman whom we used to call brother, you remember? I don't even know his name. Lot of students don't know his real name. We just used to call him brother. And then, brother said you didn't bring your papers. And how come you are here? You are submitting all the papers. I said, Swami has brought everything for me. And I submitted my papers and I was given admission in Swami's college. I couldn't imagine.
Oh my God.
So it was when I was expecting it in the least that I would get into his college, that I got admission. And then that was my second most memorable summer course. Then I joined Swami's institute.
Wow.
And the year after that, when we prepared for summer course, I was an insider.
Yes. Now, after 2 years being an outsider, yes, of the summer course.
Then I was a host. Like, you know, we used to host. Then I understood what it is to host students coming from brothers and sisters coming from other states. That realization came to us. That experience came to us when we were really playing host to those wonderful people coming from all over. And in preparation, we were asked to wash the whole hostel. So we washed up every room, the dining hall, everything, spick and span. And then I still remember the manner in which we cleaned the Saraswati pond.
Mm-hmm.
Ma Saraswati used to be there.
In
front of the hostel. So we cleaned up the pond and then everything was cleaned. And then for food, truckloads of pumpkins were brought. And I still remember the way we were ferrying pumpkins right out of the truck and into the hostel storeroom. And then, lo and behold, like, you know, all of us, we were already doing the act of hosting the summer course. And then Swami called the music boys separately and said, when these boys come from outside Papam, they don't know bhajans. So you should teach them bhajans.
Hmm.
So we had this added responsibility of teaching bhajans to people whom we didn't know. And then so many of these students, they listed up. There were so many musical enthusiasts. Time is so short, but I want to narrate one experience of one person. His name was Rajendra Singh. And he had come somewhere from Himachal Pradesh. One of the summer course students. He was all the time so humble to the core. One day he just came to me. And by that time, imagine, we were like the linchpins in the bhajan group. So Rajendra Singh came and asked me, can I play the flute for the summer course? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm mistaking it. This happened in the ensuing year. That year, of course, we did the summer course. We taught bhajans to the students and the summer course ended. But every evening, the crowning moment used to be Swami's discourse. And Swami's discourse would, in a way, I used to understand that he is summing up all that happened throughout the day in his discourse. And what I really liked, and right at that time, at that point of time, my earliest experience of his discourse was the way he sings beautiful Padyam. And then the rest of the discourse is invariably an exposition on that Padyam.
Yes.
So I used to feel that this is almost like a musical rendition. Yeah, wherein you introduce the raga through an elaborate alapchari. And then after that, the Swar Vistar.
Wow.
You sing the whole bandish.
Yes.
And then there are so many, you know, improvisations on the bandish. Ultimately, you come to a conclusion. So the whole discourse to me at that point of time, I said, my God, Swami's discourse is so musical. It's so beautiful.
Amazing.
So that was one of my earliest experiences of summer course. And then the year that followed, as I was telling you, this Rajendra Singh thing happened. I call it the Rajendra Singh event because for me it was a crowning event in the summer course. Rajendra Singh came to me, and by that time I was quite senior in the sense that I was already 1 year senior.
Yes.
And then very well placed there in the bhajan group, thinking that I know so much about bhajans, you know. Totally puffed up. When Rajendra Singh came and we had to audition the people, like we auditioned the newcomers, you know, freshers. And summer course was for one whole month. So there was so much chance for them to be freshers and then be seniors also within that 1 month.
So they could also sing bhajans, the participants?
Yeah, participants could sing bhajan. In fact, Sri Lakshmi Ramana Narayana, Partipuri Me Janam Diya, these were composed by people who came and attended summer course from Calcutta.
Oh my God.
And in the course of the summer course, they composed the bhajan.
Amazing.
And Sri Lakshmi Ramana Narayana, yes. Such a beautiful bhajan. And what happened was, when he came to me, Rajendra Singh, and he said, can I play the flute for bhajan? I said, first we have to see how you play the flute. He said, I have brought the flute with me. Till that moment, I had never seen a bansuri as huge and large as that. So he took out his bansuri, and I was totally dismayed, like the moment I saw the bansuri. And I said, anyone who can even blow one note out of this is a master. Then he took the bansuri, and I told him, okay, play something and show us. As though you knew everything about music, you know. A person, an ignoramus like me, telling that pandit of music, what do you know? Come and show, play and show. And he played Raag Hamsadhwani. And it was with such masterly strokes he played that I was totally so excited that from that place I ran all the way to Swami's bungalow and went all the way upstairs. To tell Swami, can you imagine my foolhardiness, my stupidity, to tell Swami that, Swami, there is a fantastic flutist here among the students. He must get a chance to play before you.
But you had access in those days.
No, I went. Access was there, but limited access. Like, no one was allowed to go upstairs like that.
Correct.
I broke all the rules. That was the, that was the limit of my excitement. I ran all the way upstairs and Swami was standing there. And Swami said, Emra.
What?
I said, Swami, flutist. Swami looked at me and said, Pichi, po. Go.
Mad fellow.
Mad fellow, you go. So I came down crestfallen and I went to the warden and said, sir, at last I thought, at least to the warden I'll go and plead. Sir, there's a fantastic flutist among us. Allow him to play. Then warden said, don't worry, don't get excited. You should never get excited like this. We'll go and pray to Swami. And you won't believe me, the next day, Rajendra Singh came and hugged me. And he said, Swami has allowed me to play flute for bhajans. Today he is Pandit Rajendra Singh, I think.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken, he is the same guy. But at that point of time, a very humble Rajendra Singh, and I'm sure that even to this day, until the end of his life, he will never forsake those humble bearings. He will be as humble as ever. Because music does that to a person.
Yes.
True music.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Rajendra Singh, he started embellishing every bhajan session with his flute.
Wow.
Every bhajan would be lifted, literally lifted by him. And then the summer course, and then Swami gave him permission to give a solo performance. And for that, he was practicing day in and day out, day in and day out. Now, one of those days, it was midsummer, can you imagine? Even in Vrindavan can become very hot.
Yes.
During summer. And then Niranjan told me, hey, Sonam, do something, man. That fellow will blow his head out. He's sitting right from morning. He is sitting there out there and practicing. Now, what had happened was, the previous day, Rajendra Singh had been scolded by one of the lecturers for coming to our side and practicing with us. Now, the lecturer didn't know that he had been permitted to play with us for the program.
There was a music program.
Yeah, we did a Sai Katha program. And he was to play for the Sai Katha. So for that rehearsal, he had come. But his lecturer had scolded his group leader, those days, every state had a group leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he had scolded him front, back and center that, mm-hmm. how dare you break the rules and come and mix up with Sathya Sai students, you know, like those who are regular students here. You are not permitted to do that. So that had affected him.
Oh.
So the next day, he didn't eat anything. He didn't do anything. Right from the morning, he had sat there on a flat stone in that hot sun, and he had been playing flute, practicing or whatever. His way of venting out was, I think, playing the flute. So when Niranjan told me that he's not listening to anyone, he's just sitting there and playing, I went there to him. I crept, you know, behind him. I just told him, Rajendra, and he didn't look at me. Like, he didn't even know that I was standing there. Then when I touched him, he just stood up with a jerk and said, I'm so sorry, sir, I won't sit here. I said, I'm not a lecturer, why are you bothered? He said, no, sir, I won't sit here. I said, you can sit as much as you like, but then this is not the way. You should come with us and then you should have your lunch. And then you should practice with us. So that was the type of dedication I saw in this person. Imagine a new student just come for a month. And that too, a person who was highly prowessed, like highly good in, so good in music. His ego level should have been somewhere. Why would he care about anyone? And then less than a month, because summer course, in the middle of the summer course, this man is already transformed. And he's pining for that one opportunity to play before Swami. And then he cries, he does everything that he had never done in his life. And when somebody scolds him, a person who is not even related to him and not even remotely related to him, after the summer course,
and
he would go
and... for a mistake he has not done.
Yeah, and for a mistake he had never committed. And then no word of remorse. And then he's just playing there and venting out through music. And summer course was doing that to students. I saw that myself. That transformation in a human being. I saw it myself. So wow. It was a crowning moment. Some of these wonderful moments we can never forget of the summer course. So many years after that, many, many years after that, once again I was in a summer course. Because then slowly the summer course, as you said, started changing its, Swami started making some alterations, some changes here and there. And summer course slowly became a special course for the Sathya Sai students and the freshers.
And it became a fortnightly affair also.
Yeah, and then even the time, yeah, as you said, was reduced to a fortnight. And for 15 days, the students would be inducted. It was almost like an induction ceremony.
Yes.
It was almost like an orientation for new freshers to know, you know, to learn what is in store for them and how they would receive Swami's discourses. So it became slowly that. Almost like it became an onboarding process for newcomers.
Yes.
So during one of those moments, again, I was still a summer course student. Swami's
yes. So
student.
You attended many summer courses as a student.
So many summer courses. But in the initial years, when the summer course was a pan-India summer course, you know, like anyone who would get across 3 consecutive summer courses would be given a diploma.
Oh, okay.
So that also was there. And the diploma would, Swami himself, with his divine hands, he would hand over the diploma.
Hmm.
So I used to think that I have gone through so many summer courses, but unfortunately, that rule doesn't exist anymore. So I never got a diploma from him, you know. Although I passed through so many summer courses. But one of those summer courses, when we used to sit inside the pit in the auditorium, and then Swami would be giving discourse and directly looking at you, and we would be waiting for one nod from Swami, okay, you sing this bhajan. And then we would be all the time prepared, the bhajan group. So right inside the pit, I felt sleepy.
Mm-hmm.
One of those days. And I'll never forget because I never sleep. Normally this would never happen to me during Swami's discourse. But God knows why I was feeling so sleepy. Could be because of, I was doing my PhD and I used to sleep late every night. I used to be working in the library. Could be that, or I was feeling sleepy. And when I just dozed off and I looked up with a shudder, Swami was looking directly into my eyes.
Oh my God. Even as he was giving discourse.
Yeah, even as he was giving discourse. And then again, he looked away. Then the next day again, I said, I'll never do this. And as you say, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Again, I felt sleepy the next day also.
Oh my God.
I was dozing off inside the pit. And again, Swami looked at me.
Oh
and Swami would have caught me so many times sleeping.
I mean, those are the only two moments you saw, but definitely you would have seen any number
million times. And every time you are caught napping, you know. And whenever you nap, you are caught napping, God keeps quiet.
And I know, but summer course also is a very stressful time because you have to get up very early in the morning because there are many boys in the hostel. The bathrooms and washrooms have to be shared by twice or thrice the number of boys all that. It's a rigorous schedule,
So, after the summer course, I was looking for my opportunity to pray to Swami and beg for forgiveness. So, I got my opportunity.
Because he caught you red-handed.
Because he has seen me red-handed. And on the back of my mind, I was also thinking that if I don't do that, maybe Swami won't like it. So, you see, those things used to play tricks with us, you know, the mind playing terrible tricks with us, so many wrong imaginations. So, I thought that because he has seen me, if I don't say I'm sorry, he'll feel bad. That sort of stupid thinking, you know. Swami was coming down on the portico, and I was sitting there. I just stood up, and Swami said, what do you have to ask? Kya baat hai? So I went near his ear, like earshot, and then I said, Swami, summer course, I slept during your discourse. Forgive me, Swami. As I was telling him, asking him to forgive me, I became very emotional. Like really, I was caught in that emotion. Definitely not devotion. But I was almost in agony, like, Swami, please forgive me. I was so sincere about it. And then he said, Parwa nahi. Don't worry, he was telling me.
No problem.
No problem at all. Kabhi kabhi neend aata hai, he said.
Sometimes you
fall asleep. Then he said, not exactly these words in Hindi, but almost this type of words, he said, Parwa nahi. Kitne baar wahi baat batata hai, next time miss nahi karta. Like how many times the same thing I keep repeating, don't miss it next time.
At least don't miss it.
At least don't miss it next time.
I am repeating the same things again.
So for me, the imagination was, and even today, even as I'm narrating this to you, like how many times I throw the ball, you know, towards you. And every time you miss it.
You miss it.
I keep throwing it.
Yes.
And I won't stop doing it. But you catch it next time.
At least next time you catch it.
At least next time you catch it. But every time it's the same thing. He doesn't get tired. Of telling.
You go and tell him, oh Swami, I'm sorry, I slept off. He'll say, okay, no problem. Anyway, I'm going to throw it again. Please now at least be alert and catch it.
Exactly. You remember those New Year discourses of Swami? Yes. Every year he would say,
yes.
Start with a clean slate.
Yes.
Thus far, no further.
Yes.
Past is past, forget the past.
Yes.
And then he would always say, the past is gone.
Yes.
Future is not in your hands. But the present is with you. So now make use of the present.
Yes.
How liberal can you imagine? How liberal could God be? Only God can be so liberal, in fact.
Absolutely.
So that was one summer course when very memorable because of these beautiful incidents that kept happening. And then there was another summer course wherein I was no more a student.
Mm-hmm. You had completed your PhD.
I had completed my PhD. I was no more a student. And I reached Bangalore at around 5 o'clock.
In the evening.
Yeah, in the evening. And by the time I reached the hostel, it was around 6:30, 6 something. Went to the warden, Mr. B.N. Narasimhamurthy. And the warden said, Swami spoke about you today at 3 o'clock. Swami called me and Professor Anil Kumar and said, Sonam has come, make him a guest lecturer.
A guest lecturer for the summer course?
A guest lecturer for the summer course. And that was 1990.
A guest speaker for the summer course?
A guest speaker for the summer course. So I was given this great opportunity. I could participate in the music concerts and two music concerts. I even spoke on, Swami said, let him speak on Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
I had done my PhD in Buddhism.
Wow.
So I spoke on Buddhism. And that was a very memorable summer course. And then the summer course that followed, I was once again there for summer course. No more a student, nowhere near it. And I was not allowed to participate in the summer course. So I was sitting right there, out there in the Sai Ramesh Hall. And the first day Swami's car came out from there, I don't know, instinctively I started running after Swami's car. And then all of a sudden there were tears in my eyes because this is how I started my career before as a Sai student. Before I joined his summer course, before I joined his college, he prepared me for his college by making me run after his car. after the summer course, after everything was done, then once again, I was no more a student.
You finished your studies and now you are outside.
And I'm
along
outside.
With all the devotees.
Yeah.
And again, you're running after Bhagwan's car.
Again, I'm running after Swami's car.
Wow.
In full gusto, with the same type of temperament.
Same Josh and the
same Josh. Same, excitement. In fact, more.
More. Now you've experienced his love.
Yeah. And that was a beautiful experience of summer course. And I knew that back home in Sikkim, I went back, I had to organize summer course. So way back in 2005, we did a summer course.
Mm-hmm.
We organized a summer course for students randomly picked up from everywhere. And then...
From the state of Sikkim.
In the state of Sikkim. So people told me, should it be called a summer camp or a summer course?
Mm-hmm.
Then that was one time, it was a moment of reckoning, wherein I saw the difference for the first time. I never used to, because unless you face it, you really don't dwell on it. So I said, really, it makes such a big difference, summer course and summer camp. Elsewhere in other universities, institutions, you know, people organize summer camps.
Yeah.
And basically summer camps are meant for infotainment.
Yes.
At the most, normally it's entertainment.
Yes.
And keep the students glued to something.
So basically have something which will interest the students. And
exactly.
So anyway, it's the summer, so you want to give them a break. So
give them a break.
Yeah. So it's a mix of some fun and okay, even as you're having some fun, also learn something.
Yeah, exactly. And also to ensure that they don't do anything drastically wrong.
Yes.
They don't go...
They channelize their energies into something interesting.
Something interesting. But the summer course is a totally different...
That is summer camp.
Yeah, that is a camp. This is a course.
Hmm.
It's something really serious. Wherein you look at life at very close quarters. You are taught to do that. Wherein you are taught the values of life. How to look at everything from the values angle.
See, a camp also kind of gives a notation of a picnic.
Yeah.
But this is a course. I mean, this is a serious business.
Yeah, it's a very serious business.
Mm.
And this is where you actually learn the crux of life.
Yes.
Not apart from chemistry and physics, you are taught how to interpret chemistry and physics in terms of values. How to look at everything within this values paradigm. So that is taught during the summer course. And then by no less a person than, you know, people than Dr. Gokak types, you know.
Very learned people. Of education.
And people from all different walks of life, yes. Learned politicians, learned economists, you know, learned philosophers, people from all walks of life, they come and teach you. You are learning so much from them, from their experience. To top it all, Swami's discourse. And that is how the summer course used to be. So in 2005 when we did the summer course, okay. But then it had to wait for another 5 years, and 2009 we did a proper summer course and we organized it properly. And it was for the alumni of the, basically for the alumni of the Bal Vikas, those who had completed the ninth year, that is the third group, and then stepped into the pre-sevadal. Then we were also looking for, we gave a lot of slots open for students randomly from all other schools. So in a place like called Dharamdin, where we have a beautiful institution, a beautiful temple of Satya Sai, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Mandir. We did the summer course. And in 2010, again, we did the summer course. After the 2010 summer course, the summer course coordinator, my friend who was my co-coordinator, both of us, Dr. Rabin Chetri and myself, we were in Prashanti Nilayam. And all of a sudden, we both seemed to have brought all the pictures taken during the summer course. So we thought of making that a beautiful album. And we spent one whole day in one of the studios here taking printouts and then making an album and ultimately wrote a one-page report. Not that Swami needed to be, you know, reported or updated. But then it was a chance to write something and offer it to Swami. So we took it to the Darshan time.
So you didn't come with that idea. It just happened in
practice. It just happened on the spur of the moment.
Mm.
And when Dr. Rabin was trying to offer it to Swami, it was so difficult, though he got a front line, but it was so difficult because there were so many people walking along with Swami. And then offering a letter, offering anything to Swami in that crowd was impossible.
Especially 2010 in the final year.
2010, and Swami was on the wheelchair.
Yes.
All of a sudden, again, he inspired this thought in us to go to the Yajur Mandiram and offer it to Swami.
Okay. Mm.
Then we went to the Yajur Mandiram after darshan. Swami was already up there inside the Yajur Mandiram. And then I saw Brother Satyajit. And I told him, will you kindly take this? He said, I can't take it just like that. I have to pray to Swami. And if Swami says, bring it up, I'll come and take it myself. So we waited. And in the next moment, he came with a big smile, with a big grin. He said, Swami has asked for it. So he took our album, the report, and offered it to Swami.
Wow.
Then the next 1 hour wait was a blissful wait down there. Every moment I started imagining Swami must be now pouring through the pictures and then, you know. And then after some time, Mr. V. Srinivasan and all of them, they filed out because Swami had gone inside. And then they came down and the All India president, Mr. V. Srinivasan, told me, hey, Swami is looking at your album, man. You know, and this is how actually it was so beautifully concluded. And then I came to know later on that Swami had pinpointed, like Swami had pointed at so many of the pictures. So I was imagining so many students, their heads, their faces were touched by Bhagwan.
Yes.
The whole, you know, summer course was blessed by Bhagwan in wow. such a beautiful way.
Amazing.
And we have been doing the summer course every year. We organize it. This year again we have a summer course on from 26th. For 6 days, summer course in Sikkim in the same...
26th of June.
26th of June, wow. Yeah, summer course.
Fantastic. So beautiful. And when you think about it, your journey to Bhagwan started with the summer course. And some of the most, your life's beautiful moments are tied to the summer course.
Summer course.
And now that summer course journey continues. Now you continue to do the summer course.
Yeah.
Being a beneficiary of it. Now yeah. trying to ensure that many others... are now benefited by it.
Yeah.
And you're included children who are not part of Balvikas, children who are new to the Satyasai system of education, children who are new to Bhagwan.
Yeah.
I think that was how it started when Bhagwan used to have students come from all over India. They were also very new.
Yeah.
You know? So that's how it all started. Bhagwan wanted as many young people as possible to get to know about Indian culture and
exactly, spirituality. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that was the title of the summer course. Summer Course in Indian Culture and Spirituality.
And the title has not changed all over these years.
No.
Yes. It's really fantastic. Amazing. And, you know, as you were mentioning that you were imagining how Swami has touched so many lives as you were seeing those
yes.
photographs. And,
yes.
you know, when you think about it, it is so significant because, you know, it is 2010. It is among those final few months left of Bhagwan's earthly sojourn.
Yeah.
And by touching so many hearts
yes.
through that gesture, I think he was giving you a very strong message.
Yes.
And if you see the way it happened, you are not even planned for it, you know.
Not
whenever
at all.
Things like this happen, I think it is so evident that he's orchestrating it. Of course, everything in life he's orchestrating, but there are some of these moments when his presence is so palpable, so obvious.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, one of those moments when you had not even thought about it and it just happened and he asks for it and he sees it. It's really so significant. And
that,
it's really...
spontaneity itself is his stamp, you know.
Yeah, that is
his
stamp. Yeah, that is the signature.
Yeah.
I think whenever we have a pure intent and decide to undertake that particular venture, I think we will always see the Lord's signature in it.
Really?
This is a clear example of that.
In fact, another beautiful part of the summer course those days, in the earlier days, used to be the array of lecturers that we used to have, each one of them paragons of virtues, you know.
Yes.
Like Mr. Kamal Sani, then Mr. Nityanand Menon, Mr. Rakesh Barera, Mr. Anoop Jalani, each one of them, all university toppers. Exceedingly, they were the very epitome of beauty. All of them. And then paragons of virtues, you know. And then excellent in speaking, in public speaking. And they were masters of the subject. And in fact, they were people, you know, who inspired us as lecturers so much. And these were the people, they used to speak during the summer course and used to leave the audience, the youngsters, spellbound.
Mm.
In fact, everyone in the crowd would have felt that how I wish I could be like him. You know, such wonderful, very powerful oratory by these people. That used to be one of the most wonderful characteristics, one of the features of the summer course, every year after year. Because these people would speak. A whole group of these people used to be a formidable army of people, radiant people, who would be walking along with Bhagwan, straight away with Bhagwan.
It reminds me of that song, "Oh, when the saints go marching in."
Oh, when the saints go marching
in. How I long to be in that number.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So well put.
Amazing.
And now the crowning moment is coming for us, like for me, in Sikkim, wherein we are now, the government is partnering with us, and we are now going to do not only summer, but autumn courses, summer courses, winter courses. The government is in fact asking us to organize this on values education.
Fantastic.
Summer course in human values. So we are going to do this in partnership with the Ministry of Human Resource Development in Sikkim. And it will be open to all the students from all different colleges and schools.
Wow.
So they will get exposed to Swami's beautiful message of human values.
Wow, amazing. In fact, if you look at the journey of many Sai students, because the summer course was their entry point to Bhagwan's hostel and to Bhagwan, I think so many of them have their life-defining moments there, because, you know, that is the time they decide whether they want to continue in this university or not.
Yeah.
Because after the summer course, the regular academic curriculum will start, and that is those 15 days when you are actually stressed out.
Yeah.
But you are also blissed out.
Yeah. Totally blissed out.
Because I remember how Bhagwan used to come to the hostel for the dining sessions.
Oh my God, that was another wonderful moment, yeah. In fact, not once, but he would come to the dining hall so many times.
Yes.
And he would sit with the Samoko students and eat with them.
Yes. And he used to send special gifts and mangoes and fruits, and every day there was something special coming from Bhagwan.
Showers of these.
And also, if I'm not wrong, I think the earlier years, there were days of a day marked for selfless service.
Yeah, we used to go around, do selfless service, and then going around and singing bhajan.
Wow.
Nagar Sankirtan was an integral part of the summer course.
Wow. If you see, there are so many beautiful elements
that
were part of the summer course.
Exactly.
And I think today, as we replicate this concept, if somehow we keep that character that Bhagwan had laid down so beautifully, just as we have benefited, I think so many generations will benefit from this whole idea.
More so now, because, you know, today's students, generation of students, they haven't seen Swami physically.
Exactly.
And they need this onboarding process.
Yes.
They need to be introduced in a very slow, beautiful manner. Gradually, they need to be introduced.
Yes.
And the summer course will be the grandest way of doing that.
We only have to organize events like that, and Swami will himself introduce to each one of them in his own way.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we see that happening even now in the hostel, you know, even though Bhagwan is not there physically. Bhagwan is himself announcing his advent into the heart of every student in his own inimitable way.
Yes.
And
yes.
I think that will continue to happen.
Yeah.
As long as we are focused on doing his work, he will continue to do the magic that he has been always doing.
The one-to-one magic.
One-to-one magic.
Really.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, sir. It's really Bhagwan's blessing that you are here in Prashant Nilayam, and
we are here together.
We are here together.
Qualified.
Really, because you're just there for a day, and it just happened that we met, and never thought that we would be recording this. But I think Swami has very graciously willed it and ensured that you're there for this day. Thank you very much.
Hope such days come again and again in my life. Thank you so much, Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Sonam Gyamster from Sikkim, sharing how the summer course has shaped him, shaped the course of his life. And we ended talking about the transformation that is happening in the hearts of students in the hostel, and in the future episodes, the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. With Bhagwan's grace, I want to bring those stories to you, because these are fantastic tales of inner journey. Fantastic tales of how the heart transforms and how the molding process of an individual continues in such beyond the ordinary manner, out of the world. It's really fantastic when you hear some of these tales, and I hope and pray that we will be able to document and share these with you in the coming episodes.
So it's time now to draw the curtains. Even as I wind up, you will continue to listen at 9:50, a drama presented by devotees from Singapore on December 10th, 2009, in the Divine Presence. And I will be back with a fresh episode of Outside Inside, Deep Inside, in the coming week. We all wait for another Thursday, because Thursdays are such days when it makes us those beautiful opportunities it creates for us to offer these little endeavors which will make you smile and eventually make him smile. So dear listeners, keep listening, keep do writing to us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. I am Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and on behalf of all of us, I offer my humble salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and let's pray that we become those beautiful flutes emanating his melody. Thank you so much. Salam.